So today, I'm going to let you know today that the word is going to challenge us. And we must be challenged if we're going to grow. I'm going to tell you this. Every time you hear the word, every time a message is taught or a sermon is preached, it's not to make you feel better, but it's to make you be better. And today we're going to have one of those be better messages. Today, I want to talk about stewardship. I'm led to deal with this stewardship. Now, I will tell you that stewardship is so important because being a good steward is one of the best ways of expressing our love and our gratitude to God. Let me start by giving you a couple of stewardship quotes, and then we'll get on with this. Michael Barber said, stewardship is leaving the system better than you found it. Ron Blue said, stewardship is the use of God-given resources for the accomplishment of God-given goals. Lynn A. Miller said, listen to what Lynn said. Lynn said, stewardship is the act of organizing your life so that God can spin you. And then Billy Graham said, God has given you two hands, one to receive with and the other to give with. So we're going to deal with this subject of stewardship. I will tell you, every kingdom believer has to get it. We have to get a revelation of stewardship. The purpose of this lesson today is for us to learn the difference between ownership, possession, and stewardship. Now, here's my first major point, and I'm not going to be too long today. God is the, you need to write this down. God is the creator and owner of everything. Come on, write it down. God is the creator and owner of everything. The primary problem uncommitted Christians have is that they think like owners instead of thinking like stewards. And again, there are three words that we need to know the difference between: ownership or owner, possession, and stewardship. Let me define what an owner is. An owner is one who has legal and exclusive rights to hold, to use, to benefit from, to transfer, or to dispose of. Now, I want to walk you through some scripture on today. Today's lesson is not going to be really, really deep, but this revelation is something that we have to have if we're going to prosper God's way. Now, I want you to turn your Bibles. You can start turning here now. Turn to 1 Chronicles. This is in the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Let me tell you what's going on before we start reading. Matter of fact, let me start turning there myself. But 1 Chronicles chapter 29, you'll find David, he's the king, and he's making a tremendous offer of finances towards the building of the temple. And his offering motivates the leaders to make a tremendous offering. And then after the leaders gave a great offering, the people gave a great offering. And I want to pick up right there. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and we'll start reading at verse number 11, from verse 11 through 14. Listen to what it says. Then, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thine hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our Lord, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Wow. David says, we be so generous today. But then he says, really, it's not hard to be generous because everything comes from you. He's talking to God. Really, it's not hard to be generous because everything comes from you. And we're simply giving back to you what you gave to us. It's kind of like buying a gift for somebody on their credit card that they pay for. You ever had that to happen? You got somebody to buy a gift for you on the credit card that you pay for. They buy the gift. They present it to you. You get excited about the gift that you pay for. Now, the truth is, you're celebrating the giving of the gift and not so much the gift itself. It's the love that's shown that really makes you happy. And that's exactly what God does. He tells us what he likes, and then he gives us the money. We take the money that he gave us and we give it to him. And it's our love and our obedience that makes him happy, and he blesses us even the more for it. Isn't that amazing? Let me show you something. Go to Psalms 24 and verse number 1. Psalms 24 and verse number 1. Listen to this. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let me read it again. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 for me and verse number 7. Look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 7. For he maketh thee to differ from another. And listen to this. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as thou hadst not received it? Now, in the context of this scripture, the people in Corinth got divided because they were comparing ministers and they were comparing ministries. And Paul asked a question to them, what do you have that you did not receive? And that's a good question. What do you have that you did not receive? Let me ask you that question. Apart from God's help, what do you have that you got on your own? I'll wait. What do you have that you got on your own? I mean, God didn't give you the strength. God didn't give you the intelligence. God didn't give you the ability to get it. God didn't open up the opportunities for you. What do you have that you did not receive? Can I answer for you? Nothing. There's nothing you have that you did not receive. The house you have, God help you. The cars you drive, God help you. The job you have, God bless you with it. We have absolutely nothing that God didn't have a hand in. God has had a hand in everything we have. I don't care what you have, who you think you are, how smart you are, how strong you are, who you know in high places. There's nothing that you have that God didn't have a hand in. Let me show you this. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 19 and 20. Listen to this. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye, listen to this, ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know what that says? We don't even belong to ourselves. God is both the creator and owner of everything. We don't even, your body doesn't even belong to you. Lord have mercy. Let's go a little further. Go to 1 Timothy 6 and 7. I feel like I'm preaching today. I feel a little preachy today here in the studio. Listen to 1 Timothy 6 and 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. We brought nothing into this world, and we will bring nothing out. I was reading some time ago on March the 31st, 2008, Mr. Al Copeland, founder of Popeye's famous fried chicken, he was laid to rest in Metairie Cemetery. Now, during his service, they had some of his cars lined up around the gravesite. They had his motorcycles lined up around the gravesite. They had his boat lined up around the gravesite. And they had the service, and they had all kinds of people out there, all this stuff surrounding the gravesite. But you know what? After the service, after it was over, and after the people started leaving, you know what happened? They took all that stuff away. No cars went into the grave. No motorcycles went into the grave. No boats went into the grave. All of that stuff left, went back to the house or somewhere to the warehouse. What I'm saying is, we brought nothing into this world, and we're going to carry nothing out. We're going to carry nothing out. It sounds so, if that's the case, it sounds like we don't own anything. We don't own anything. Possession and ownership are not the same. Possession and ownership are not the same. Let's look at possession. To possess means to exert influence or control over something. Now, it's possible to possess something and not own it. And it's possible to own something and not have possession of it. Let's say this. Let's say you want to purchase a home and you go down to the bank to get a loan for the house. Now, even though you purchased the house, you're not an owner. You're a possessor. What do you mean? It's my house. Well, default on the loan. Go ahead and default on the loan, and you know what happens? The owner is coming to get the house back because you're not an owner. You are a possessor. So the owner says, listen, here's what the bank says to you as the owner. I'm going to let you possess it. Listen to the wording. But if you're not a good steward over it, I'll take it back. Because you're not an owner. You're a possessor. Now listen to this statement. In Scripture, please get this. This is so powerful. In Scripture, God never relinquishes ownership. He allows possession, but not ownership. God never relinquishes ownership. He allows possession, but not ownership. Now, on the heels of that statement, I want you to look at this. Look at 1 Corinthians 4:2. Oh, we got to get our minds right, for real. We got to get our minds right. We got to know who we are and who we're not. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, my first major point was God is the creator and owner of everything. Here's my second major point. Men are stewards only. We are stewards only. We never become owners. We are stewards only. So, Pastor, if that's the case, what's a steward? A steward is a person who manages the wealth of another. A steward does not own the wealth, but he or she has the privileges of enjoying the wealth and using it for the profit of the owner. Oh, my God. Now, the number one requirement of a steward is found in this text today. Moreover, it is required in the steward that a man be found faithful. The number one requirement of a steward is faithfulness. Faithfulness. And listen to me. There are three requirements to faithfulness: obedience, productivity, and true representation. Three requirements for faithfulness: obedience, productivity, and true representation. to be faithful, you have to be obedient. In other words, you must be diligent in following the instructions of the owner. So we have to be diligent in what God instructs us to do. Oh, I'm trying to help you today. The second requirement of faithfulness is productivity. Productivity means preservation. Whatever I'm a steward over, I've got to preserve it. I have to manage it in a way that it produces and continues to benefit. So whatever God puts in my trust, I preserve it, I must increase it, and I must manage it right. Whatever God puts in my trust, I got to increase it, I got to manage it right. So if my body, we'll use this, if my body doesn't belong to me, then I can't do whatever I want to do with my body. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. I can't take it and do what I want to do with it because it doesn't belong to me. We just read the scripture that your body doesn't belong to you. So if my body doesn't belong to me, I got to do what the owner tells me to do with it. So I have to preserve my body. I got to preserve it. So listen, so it can produce and continue to benefit God. Whatever God puts in my hand, I've got to preserve it. And I got to make sure that it continues to produce and it benefits God. Let me ask you a question. The things that God has allowed you to steward over, how are they benefiting the kingdom? I'll wait. Your body. How's your body benefiting the kingdom? We want the kingdom to benefit us, but how's your body benefiting the kingdom? Your finances. How's your finances benefiting the kingdom? Everything that God has allowed you to be the steward over, since he's the owner, how is he benefiting? What is God getting for his investments? The third requirement, I got to get out of here. The third requirement of faithfulness is true representation. I must demonstrate the character of the owner. So I got to make sure that I represent the owner well. So if God is love, I got to be loving. If God is generous, I got to be generous. I've had people that ask me, why you give so much? Why are you so generous? Because God is. And if God is generous and he's the owner of everything and I'm the steward over it, I've got to represent him and do what he wants me to do with what he allowed to come in my hands. If God is kind, I must be kind. If God is selfless, I must be selfless. Because I must demonstrate the character of the owner. Now, I told you I wasn't going to be long. I'll close with three questions. Here's the first one. How could God take, and go through scripture, how could God take wealth from the Egyptians and give it to his people and be morally right in doing it? How is that possible? How can God take wealth from the Egyptians and give it to his people and be morally right by doing it? Here's my second question. How could God empower Israel to drive out the Canaanites? Read your Bible. And give them great and goodly cities that they did not build. Bible says he gave them houses filled with good things that they did not fill. He gave them vineyards that they did not plant and wells that they didn't dig. How could God do that and be morally right? Again, excuse the noise. We got construction going on. His third question. Proverbs 13 and 22 says, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. How could God do that and be morally right? Here's the answer. The reason why God could take the wealth from the Egyptians and give it to the Israelites and be morally right is because the Egyptians were possessors and not owners. The reason why God could tell his people about houses and vineyards and wells is because the Canaanites were not owners, they were possessors. When the text says that the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just, it's saying that there are some sinners working for God on some stuff that's for us. Lord, did you hear what I just said? There are some sinners working on some stuff, and they think they're working on it for their benefit, but they're actually working on it for us. You know why? Because God is the owner, and he can give it to whoever he wants to give it to. We've got to change our mindsets about stuff that God has allowed us to steward over. We got to change our mindsets. We are not owners. We're not owners. We are possessors. We are stewards. And we got to be faithful to do what God tells us to do with what belongs to him. Oh, my God. Listen. We're gonna deal with this a little more on next week. I think this is so important. If we're going to prosper the way God wants us to prosper, if we're going to get everything that God wants us to have, we've got to make sure that our mindsets are right as it relates to stewardship. Think about yourself. Think about the stuff that you do have possession of and you allow somebody to use it. There are requirements to the user. And when the user does not do those things that are required, you take the use from the user away. We are stewards. Thank God. Thank God for the stuff that God has allowed us to have or to possess. Thank God. Thank God. But look, everything belongs to him. Guess what? And I used to say this and I'm going to close. When you woke up this morning, you were sleeping in God's bed. You rolled over and you put your feet on God's floors. You walked over to God's closet. You put on God's clothes. Hopefully you went into God's bathroom and got God's toothpaste and brushed God's teeth. You sat down at God's table. You ate God's food. Now you're here in service. In this service, yeah, via live stream that's owned by God, and nobody but God deserves the praise, the glory, and the honor. Let's remember who the owner is. Come on, let's pray. Lord, we love you, we honor you, and we praise you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for all that you've done for us. We give you praise and we give you glory and we give you honor for it. We take this word today and we apply it to our lives. Thank you for waking us up to let us know that we don't really own anything. You're the owner. We're just possessors. You've allowed us to handle the stuff that belongs to you. God, we want to be faithful stewards. We declare today we're going to do what you tell us to do with what belongs to you. We will be willing and we will be obedient. Forgive us. Forgive us for acting like owners. Forgive us for acting like we are sometimes above other people when none of us are really owners, God. You're the owner. You deserve all the praise and glory and the honor today. Thank you now, God. And God, as we embrace being faithful stewards, I thank you now, God, as we are faithful over the little, you'll give us even more to be faithful over. Thank you, God, that because we will be faithful with what we have, you will entrust us with more. Thank you now, God. We love you and we honor you and we praise you today. I pray for every person that's watching. I claim everybody for your kingdom. I pray for those that have been at a distance from you. I thank you now for them coming back to you today. in the name of Jesus. Then I pray for those that you've spoken to and you said to them that this is their set place. This is a place that they're to be planted. They're going to grow and be fruitful. I pray now that they will be obedient to your will for their lives. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And thank God. Can we thank God for his word? We're stewards, and we want to be faithful stewards. Let me extend this invitation to you today. If you're watching me right now and you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, the Bible says that if you can believe in your heart and you can confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God has raised him from the dead, you can be saved, and you can be saved this morning. Why don't you give Jesus your life? Why don't you make Jesus Lord of your life today? Today is your day. You can make a decision today that will secure your eternal future. Give your life to the Lord. Make Jesus Lord of your life. If you're going to do that, I want you to repeat this simple prayer for me. Because you know the Bible says if you can believe in your heart and you can confess with your mouth, you can be saved. So I want you to repeat this prayer with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. I ask you for forgiveness. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I believe that he was buried, and I believe that he rose from the dead. I turn from my sins, and I invite you to come into my heart and come into my life. I trust you, and I will follow you as my Lord and my Savior. If you have believed in your heart and you confess with your mouth today and made Jesus Lord of your life, I want to take this opportunity to welcome you to the kingdom of God. It's just that simple. I want to welcome you to the kingdom of God. We have some information right there on the screen where you can reach out to us, leave your information. I'm going to make sure that a minister reaches out to you. But my main objective right now is I want to welcome you to the kingdom of God. I'm excited about your future. Oh man, God's got some great things in store for you. You may be watching, you're saying, well, Pastor, at some point in my life, I gave my life to the Lord, but I'm not where I should be as it relates to my walk with God. I need to recommit my life to the Lord. If that's you, this invitation is for you. Same information that's on the screen. You can reach out to us, and I will have a minister to call you, reach out to you, pray with you, give you scripture. We're going to get you back on track. Do that today. Or you're saying, Pastor, I want to be a part of the Destiny Christian Center family. If that's you, we would absolutely love to have you to be a part of our family. Same information applies to you. You can reach out to us, leave your information. We're going to have somebody to contact you and give you all the information that you need for membership at DCC. We're excited about your future. God bless you. Thank you today. Thank God for the word. Man, we're getting ready to see God's best in our lives because we're getting in our places. And our places is to be good, faithful stewards. Look, let's today prepare to worship and giving. The Bible says, God says, bring ye all the tithe and offering into the storehouse. And the Lord says, prove me. See, will I not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive it? Going back to stewardship, God's telling us what to do with what he allowed to come into our hands. He says, bring ye the tithe and offering into the storehouse. Let me tell you something. I don't just teach this. I live this, and I've got evidence on my life that God's word works. So I want to encourage you today to be a true committed tither. I'm believing God to have 100% participation in tithing and in offering in this ministry. So I encourage you today, you can text to give or you can give online, but let's all be true, committed, faithful tithers and givers, which means that we're faithful stewards and we're obedient to the word of God. So I encourage you today, text to give, you can give online, but let's be committed tithers, let's be committed seed sowers and watch God bless our lives. The third way that we give in this ministry is what we call, we're giving towards, I was thinking about the pastor's honor offering. I haven't really said anything much about that. If you'd like to be a part of the pastor's honor offering, you can do that. I'll have them put the pastor's Cash App on the screen. Matter of fact, somebody had just recently asked, why you don't ask about the pastor's honor offering? God will bless us when we bless the man of God. So I'll do that. We'll put the Cash App on the screen. If you want to be a part of the pastor's honor offering, I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to do that today. But we also are giving towards the vision. We're believing God for a debt-free destiny dome that will seat over 3,000 people and be filled with over 3,000 people. Can I encourage you to sow towards the vision? God has not changed his mind about Destiny Christian Center. So let's do that. Let's prepare to be cheerful givers. Let's do it. Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. I'll give you some time to get that together. And then we will give. We're going to make our confession really quick. Will you say this with me? I'm a true tither and giver, and I am blessed because of it. The windows of heaven are open for me, and the blessings of God are poured out upon my life. Confess this. I have huge money right now. It's pressed down, shaken together, and it's running over. Say this, I'm blessed and I'm a blessing. I'm a blessing to the kingdom and I'm a blessing to people. I want you to confess this. I'm out of debt. All of my needs are met with a surplus. Can we confess over the dome? Debt-free destiny dome. Seated over 3,000 people. Filled with over 3,000 people. I need somebody by faith to shout it out. It's up. Thank you so much for sharing with us today. I love y'all so much. I miss you. I thank God for you. Don't forget about Wednesday night. We want to be right back here Wednesday night for our Wednesday night Bible class. It's always a blessing. I love you. I want you to enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll talk soon.